Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. So begins a common refrain in classrooms like ours and other civic events. And a little further on in the pledge, we declare ourselves to be one nation under God. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. These words historically began courtroom testimony. With one hand raised in a posture of solemn respect, while the other hand foremost rested upon the holy word of God. And these two civic images illustrate a long-standing acknowledgement that we have stood together as a nation with a shared desire to order our society under God and to seek His strength to be truthful in our dealings with one another, especially those in times of public testimony. Now I realize that even these words have come under more scrutiny and criticism in recent years. They are divisive, I suppose, for some. But for a great many in our culture, they remain as powerful and relevant today as ever. And understood rightly, I submit to you that both of these well-known statements, the Pledge of Allegiance and the oath of a courtroom, are inspiring promises. They indicate that there are principles of community and conduct that we see that are larger than ourselves, a high standard to which we strive. Stand alongside a veteran as he or she recites the pledge, and you can hardly help but be moved. Similarly, our confirmands stood in this place just a few days ago, as classes have for decades, and responded to this question, among others: do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And with one collective voice, they responded, "I do, by the grace of God." That is an inspiring promise indeed. And with these three oaths, these images in mind, we consider again the setting in which we encounter Moses and the people of God. It is likely a familiar scene. Moses came to the people calling upon them to be a nation under God. And thus we read, "And all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do.'" It was their pledge, their promise of faithfulness. And like us in those types of moments, they were probably swelled up with a kind of enthusiastic conviction to live according to that pledge. Indeed, they reiterated it twice, even more emphatically the second time. Moses confirmed their pledge with the blood of a sacrifice establishing this lasting covenant. He declared, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." And some of that blood was cast upon the altar and some upon the people. Now that's not a very delicate image in an antiseptic culture like ours. But it unmistakably connected the people to the God whom they promised to follow and obey. But as you know, you don't have to read too much further into Exodus beyond this emphatic pledge of the community to find the same people turned away again from God. They grew impatient with God. Apparently, he was not returning Moses to them quickly enough from the mountain to which Moses was called with further instruction that would lead and guide them. So they took matters into their own hands. They created for themselves an alternative to the living God, the one who had created and sustained them, the one who had delivered them, the one who fed them and provided and protected them. Now instead, their focus became a God made by their own hands, a lifeless statue. They betrayed the covenant that God had established and which they themselves had so emphatically affirmed. A small group of men had walked alongside Jesus for round about 3 years. They left their regular lives behind, pledging by their footsteps with him that Jesus was their teacher, their master, their Lord. No doubt they too were swelled up with that enthusiastic conviction to follow him and to live according to his teaching, even though there was much they didn't understand. And I imagine they were pretty caught up in the excitement of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Finally, he was getting his due from the people, they must have thought. The palm flags were waving, the people were cheering, they were laying their cloaks upon the ground. What a great day to pledge allegiance to this son of David. And then, just a few days later, came that bombshell allegation. "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." How could that be? How could that be so soon after the triumph of that previous Sunday, that one that we call Palm Sunday? But each one in turn at the supper recognized in himself the possibility of betrayal, just as their ancestors had done at the foot of Mount Sinai. "Is it I?" each asked in turn, now with sorrow in his voice. Mark's gospel does not record specifically who Jesus identified among them, and that's good, because it allows Jesus' accusation to linger with us for a while, rather than simply be quickly focused upon one man. You see, "Truly, I say to you, dear friends in Christ, that one of you will betray him." So ask yourself, is it I? And if you are honest, you will hear, in the roaring silence of your own heart, an unmistakable yes. It is you, as it is me. Jesus had one man in view at that moment, but by declaring it among all 12, he made clear that the charge of betrayal could and would apply to them all, as to all of us. They deserted him and denied him, as you have. And for even less threatening reasons than faced the disciples or those crowds under Moses. Woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, Jesus said. Woe to you. He continues, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Apart from Christ, it would have been better for you if you had not been born. But, the people of God at Mount Sinai, the men gathered in the upper room, and you and I are not apart from Christ. In fact, we are a part of Christ. Because that is God's desire, that we are a part of Christ. He took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." The blood of the covenant was cast upon the people of old and upon the altar, the symbol of God among them. And now the blood of Jesus flows from the cross upon the altar and is offered to his people as the eternal covenant between God and the faithful. And there is simply no more inspiring promise than the promise of God and his faithfulness. Is it I who have betrayed him? Again and again, we must answer yes. You and I dare not point the finger of accusation at someone else or take lightly our role in Jesus' betrayal. Jesus was not betrayed just once by a kiss in the garden. He is betrayed by every thought, word, and deed of yours that violates the holy will of God. But it is God who has restored the covenant, the pledge, the oath to be and remain united with him. Is it I for whom the blood of Jesus was shed again and again? God answers, yes. Every time we come before him in faith, in the solitude of our own hearts, in those closed rooms, in private prayer, God answers, yes, my grace is for you. Every time we stand together here in this place in confession and receive again the words of absolution from our Lord, we receive God's, yes, you are forgiven. Every time we gather to share this bread and wine, this body and blood in humility and faith, God answers, yes, it was broken and shed for you. Yes, you are heirs of the covenant, redeemed children of God, those for whom God sent his one and only Son into the world. Is it I, we ask? Yes. By the grace of God, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured of God's yes to you, now and always. Amen.